This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 520. That's 520, recorded on October 25th, 2017. So glad you joined us. You've joined a show about technology and ministry. We have a little chat each and every week. And the chat takes two on the other side of the microphone. And just one Mississippi River over is Sally Draper in New Ulm, Minnesota. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am great. Good afternoon. Happy to be joining you today. And 520 times. Last week we went to the trouble of calculating how many hours and days of Wells Tech podcast exist out there. And it turns out if you wanted to listen end to end, at least through episode 519, that would take you 32 days listening around the clock.
Yes.
That would be just 32 days. I think you might spend doing something else. I don't know. That's a long time.
We did have somebody, I don't remember who it was, but this was maybe a couple years back, who did start from show one and mm-hmm. listened all the way to the current show. I don't remember what show that was, but that's impressive by itself, though.
Right.
And some things are still useful. I mean, we can go back a few years and maybe even 4 or 5 years and say, hey, some of that's still useful. Some of those tips and community feedback or whatever are still, really valuable. But there's a whole lot of stuff that has gone by the way and is not worth considering or is not even available anymore.
That's
or just true. Plain bad advice. Maybe it was bad advice even when we gave.
No, it couldn't be. No way.
But we're here with another show, like it or not, and we're really happy that you decided to join us. We do this for you, and I think this is I enjoy each and every week that we do it, so that's why we keep doing it. We are in the month of October, and month of October is video month, and we've been talking about video for ministry and how to both plan for, take video, produce video, distribute video, determine what content is good for video. And I'm really happy today, Sally, because we had some real experts in the house, or at least we talked to them earlier this week. Some of our longtime listeners will remember Steve Zambo, the president of Salty Earth Pictures out in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, are their headquarters. And he was joined by his lovely wife, Beth, and through the wonders of technology, we were able to bring them together since they were miles and miles apart. Beth works for a Committee on Relief, or what's the official name? That's the old name. Oh,
Aid and Relief, I believe.
That's, what's that?
Aid and Relief.
Aid and Relief.
It's got an A in there.
Care and Aid and Relief, yes. She was down in Houston. So we brought, they were really thankful to us, Sally, for bringing them together because, they hadn't seen each other for a while and won't see each other for a while. So it was nice to have them together, both different perspectives. Steve, has been in video a long time and now Beth, and Beth has too, but Beth now has kind of a different perspective and different context as she's kind of creating video, in a new context for a new ministry. So, it was kind of neat to get them together, talk about video production, distributions, pick their brains a little bit. So without further ado, why don't we play that interview and then, you and I can chat and, regroup on our video production stuff. So let's talk to Steve and Beth. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, and we're really happy to have a couple of Zambos on the interview line. Steve and Beth Zambo, president and vice president of Salty Earth Pictures to begin with, but they have other jobs and other hats as well. Steve as professor of digital cinema and media at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and Beth works for Christian Aid and Relief as an administrative assistant, and she's coming to us from Houston, Steve, from
Lake Mill.
Johnson Creek, Fort Atkinson, I forget where you are.
Jefferson County there.
Jefferson County, that's close enough, right. Thanks for joining us, you two. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Why don't you start by introducing yourselves a little bit more than my feeble attempt, what you do, your experiences, especially maybe with video production and distribution. Ladies first. Beth, how about you?
Oh, boy, thanks a lot. Well, I know Steve will have much more to say than me. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's been doing it in the Synod for a long time. And wherever he's gone, I've gone along with him. And so I've learned the ropes of media through just jumping in and doing it. So I would, you know, we're going to ask some questions about who can do this. And if I can do it, I'd say just about anybody can do it. but I've been blessed to have been doing video with Steve through the work that we've been doing with the Wells, through especially Christian Aid and Relief. We've done a lot of videotaping of the disasters in the areas, and both Steve and I have created a series called The Lifeline, and you can go on wells.net/relief, and that's right. And you can watch these lifelines about previous hurricanes, whatever's going on, superstorms, earthquakes, all kinds of things around the world. And I personally have had the opportunity to go to many of these places, but if I don't, people will bring the media back, and I will put it together and kind of create a story that people can understand what has happened.
Yep. So. And you've been working, I know that, now this is probably ancient history, you did some video editing for some of our Synod conventions in the past, and all kinds of other stuff. And I assume you are in Houston with the help effort there, right?
Yes.
For the hurricane, the recent hurricane there. Awesome. Thanks for your work. Steve, about you?
Well, first of all, thanks for doing this, because this is the first time I've seen Beth since Thursday. So,
seriously, oh, that's sad.
This is another piece of our ministry, is keeping couples together.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. In all my jobs over the years, there's, and sometimes not even planned, there was a media bent to them. I worked in government. I worked in education. I worked for a small business, and it was right as media was starting to become more of a tool of the people, let's say, rather than just a tool of the media conglomerates in New York and in Hollywood. So I sort of grew along with this too, and wherever I went, be it in government or education or at the Synod, kind of said, what can we do to kind of be more visual, to get out there and to talk to people? So it's really been a long process all the way from the early days of working with Jerry Kastens on the Kids Connection to working with all of you for several years as media director at Wells, and doing something like what I call a Christiation comedy called Fifth Pew from the Front, then to helping all kinds of ministries. In fact, we're still doing that today with Lutheran Pioneers. We just did a Back to the Future parody video for them to help to kind of reignite what they're all about, and also Lighthouse Ministries in Milwaukee. The reason then for us, Beth and I, formulating the Salty Earth Pictures now 13 years ago was to take the tools that are now available, and also the tremendous amount of talent that is in the Wells in Christianity, and make feature films. And we've now done our fifth one. It'll be in distribution in February of next year, called The Open Door. We're working with Jesus Cares Ministry on that and others. It's about a young man with special needs who is befriended by a town curmudgeon, and together they change the attitudes of their community, their church, their family to those with special needs. So it's just been amazing to discover the opportunities that are out there to harness media to not only entertain but to deliver the all-important message that we have of hope in Christ.
Very good. So that's one of the projects you're working on. Beth, how about you? What projects do you have on your plate these days?
Well, currently I am knee deep, and that's not a nice thing to say down here in Houston, because they are seriously recovering after the water flooded many of the homes. So right now we are preparing for the volunteers to come in. The volunteers just started coming in yesterday, I believe, and now they are going into the homes and they are putting them back together. Many of the homes have been gutted, and the people that are here are doing drywall and finishing. And I am here to make sure that they get here and have accommodations and help cook and take care of whatever their needs are. But in addition to that, I will also videotape and share what's going on down here so that the people of the Wells realize how thankful the people are here to be served, and how happy the volunteers are to serve the people. It is just a tremendous blessing.
Steve, you hit a little bit on the concept of storytelling, and Beth just reiterated that with what she was talking about there in Houston. Martin and I have spent this month focusing on video and how rapidly it's changing the way we communicate and permeating so much of our lives. And I think the big win with video is that you can tell a story. So maybe help our listeners understand how to tell stories. We've talked a little bit about storyboarding and scripting, but tell us how a church might storyboard or script, what that would look like. How should that work for them?
Well, really, the important thing to remember, and I think Beth would agree with this, that video is good at several things. And there's really five of them, and let's see if I can remember them here. One is to entertain, which is, you know, a key element of video. One is to move to action, which is the reason that it's used a lot in political campaigns and things like that. One is to educate. Another is to inform, slightly different than educate. And the fifth is to sell. So if you look at those five ingredients and say, okay, how is this production that I'm doing, this video that I'm doing, going to accomplish that, you'll hopefully have a good video, at least a plan for a video. Alfred Hitchcock used to say that there's three things needed for every successful movie, and the first one is story, and the second one is story, and the third one is story. And I think, you know, we have the greatest story to tell, but then all globally, universally, but we also have wonderful stories to tell locally. So if you think in terms of what's going to happen, what you can say visually that's going to encourage, motivate, sell an audience on your school, your church, your ministry, whatever you're doing, put those elements together, you're off to a good start. There's really 12 questions in every screenplay, believe it or not. I mean, we could be talking about The Lion King. We could be talking about the Titanic. We could be talking about The King's Speech, whatever movie that you want to come up. And there's usually 12 questions that are asked every 10 minutes in those movies, or every 10 pages in a 120-page script, almost without fail. And the same applies to very good commercials, which are 30 seconds or a minute long, or good promotional videos, which are 5 minutes long. If you can sort of follow the thread of asking these questions, of which are set up the conflict that exists and then the resolution of that conflict, you're going to be able to engage an audience and keep them into your story and have them walk away with two or three key points that hopefully you thought through ahead of time, kind of embedded in their mind. So Beth, is there anything that you, based on, you know, the stories that we've been telling, that you can add to that?
I think you've shared some good points.
You don't need to be, I guess one of the concerns that a church or school might have in, you know, kind of dipping their toe in, you know, in video production and, you know, creating, whether it's a promo video or whatever, is that they look at people like Ken Burns and, you know, some of the, you know, the master storytellers who do this for a living say, well, we can't do that. We don't have the experience or skill set. Is that true? I mean, can a church or a school really take this on? Can they write a script? Can they do their own storyboarding? I know you teach that to students at WLC. Is it hard? Do you need to go to school for this? Or is this something that, you know, with the right tools and guidance, could they do this?
Well, that's a tough one. I want to say yes and no. I Beth and I have our youngest son is now a junior and 16. But when he was last year already, he decided that he wanted over spring break to remodel our bathroom. And we're like, well, okay, Peter, I know you like this kind of thing, and you're talented at it. But we said, okay, go ahead. Now, through the internet and through resources, he took it down to the floor studs and put in tile. And I mean, he did a fabulous job. Are there some mistakes? Would it be a professional job? Probably not, but it is very good, and he learned from the process. And I think that's the key element, is if you're willing to learn through the process, that applies to video production too. Not everyone is going to do it right the first time. There's going to be some mistakes. You're going to roll. You know, if you go back and look at Flywheel, which was the very first movie that you broke down in Atlanta, that's made a lot of movies, the production values aren't that good, you know, but they've learned throughout the process and they made it. And I think the same thing applies for congregations and schools and nonprofits that want to do this. You can be willing to make some mistakes and be willing to put out the best that you can at this time and kind of grow and work on that. Now, there's some things that I think we could be told to help them to avoid some initial mistakes that a lot of people do when they first get into this. But one of the best things is to look and see what others have done. Go online and watch the Ken Burns documentaries. Go and see what the National Cancer Society might have put out for a video. Look at what other churches are doing. Watch some movies and kind of learn the process of visual storytelling. It's a lot different than just verbal storytelling because it's concentrating on showing, not so much telling.
Very good. What about any particular tools that you might recommend for DIYers if they're trying to get started in video projects? Are there editors or equipment, anything that's better quality that you can recommend?
As far as Beth and Jessica just walked in here too, so I should actually ask her. She's our daughter who does a lot of our editing and shooting for us. Adobe Premiere really is where a lot of things are going as far as post-production is concerned, and the nice thing about that is Adobe Suites is now available online, where you can basically pick and choose the elements of all of Adobe products that you want to use. It's available on the cloud. It's a subscription basis, and it's a way that a lot of the industry and prosumers are starting to go as far as post-production is concerned. As far as cameras and things like that, boy, video cameras that you can get at Best Buy today are shooting fine video quality. GoPros, things like that too, are doing a great job on shooting video. The main issue, and people will accept inferior picture before they'll accept inferior audio. So a lot of times, make sure that the camera that you're buying has at least mini audio plugin that you can eventually hook up XLR professional audio to in order to record good audio. Yeah, believe it or not, that the pictures, people accept pictures that aren't that great, but if the audio starts to fail, you're going to lose your audience.
Right. Beth, you were, if I understand it correctly, self-taught basically with video. What kind of guidance can you provide to maybe those in a church or school, maybe trying to do the same thing or thinking about maybe producing their own video, some of the tools or techniques or learning suggestions that you might provide or experience?
Well, firstly, I would like the congregations not to underestimate the value that the young generation brings to the table, because they're the ones that are very technical. I mean, they've been born with it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pick something up. You know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. It doesn't come naturally, and it is a finessing gift. Not that older people can't do it, and if they are computer literate, it isn't difficult. But our young people are learning this in the schools. They're learning it on their phone. You can create a video on your phone, and you can load it to YouTube, and it's on the internet. Here we are today. We're almost making a video. Well, we are. You know, we could put this, package it, and send it around the world. And that's what our kids are doing constantly. So our congregations, if they want to engage the younger generation, this is an awesome way to do it.
Steve, is it possible to create a video solely with maybe a mobile device, you know, the camera on a smartphone? Is the quality there for something like that?
Let me give you an example. Yes, it is possible. But for instance, congregations that want to start either webcasting their church services or Bible studies or things like that used to have to make a fairly substantial investment in cameras, a switcher, all of this. This is just one example. This is a Mevo, which was just introduced about 2 years ago, which is really catching fire. Now, this connected to its base here can extend its life to about 10 hours. It can connect to the internet. It can give you 9 different shots that you can choose, and with an iPad or your phone, you literally can do a three-camera shoot with something that's going to cost you under $1,000. Move it from the church to the fellowship hall. It doesn't have to be hooked up, mounted in place. It gives you flexibility if you're doing something out in the field. It's a great tool. So, there's a lot, and there's a ability to even edit within the Mevo system. I would say that we're definitely getting there to the point where people can tell their stories. Now, my encouragement would be to keep them short in that regard. If you're
going to
don't spend a lot of time thinking you got to explain everything, but keep, 4 minutes, 5 minute little videos through the tools that are available for a very reasonable cost and can get you very good picture quality. Nowadays, I think a lot of congregations now can enter that world, whereas before it was almost prohibitive because of the cost.
Very exciting. So what if a church or school wants to go the professional route? Can you give us an idea of what they might expect to pay or who they could reach out to for that kind of service?
Well, you could, not trying to sell here because we are, but you could always call Salty Earth Pictures. We'd be happy to at least provide you with some advice. The standard fees, believe it or not, in places were paying this about 15 years ago or so, was $1,000 per finished minute. And most organizations were saying, well, we got to get our money's worth, so let's do a 15-minute video. So it was costing about $15,000 for a church or an organization to do a promotional video. Those days are long gone. And I would say that if you're going to go a professional route, you could probably get a 4 to 5 minute video anywhere from about $1,000 to $3,000 in that range. And if not, you should be asking some questions about, really, what am I getting for this and all of that. But I think you can find people that would take on a project for that. And it really breaks down to there's three phases to that. And that's why it does cost money. Is one, there's the actual coming on site and shooting the video, which there does have to be some equipment. There's the post-production and the replication work that all has to go involved. So there are some costs definitely still involved in it. So I would at least look somewhat in that range.
What about on the front end of that, the creative side, the storyboarding, the scripting? Do companies like yours or others, do they get involved in that process from kind of beginning to end, or is that kind of on the organization to kind of figure out all the content and those kinds of things?
No, Beth too. If you I'm sure can respond to this. But a lot of times, there will be some consulting, and you can either have someone just deliver ideas for you, or work out a treatment, or literally work out a script. But a lot of times in these type of stories, the script, you have an idea or a map of where you want to go, but the brunt of the material is going to come from the interviews that you capture. So a lot of times the work becomes in post-production, where you're almost taking all of these elements and hopefully making a story out of it. Now, you should know where you want to go with that. Helps to have the right questions and in mind and listen to make sure you're getting those responded to. But I do think that the way you ask questions and the interviews, especially in like a church-related video or school promotional video, or what Beth does in Disaster Relief, is really what helps you to formulate that script.
Yeah. One last question, maybe for you, Beth. How much video content do you need to capture, you know, to get, you know, 5 good minutes?
Well, that is a good question. And I do get a lot of B-roll, and B-roll is important because B-roll covers up the mistakes that people make when they're talking.
So explain what B-roll is for our audience.
A B-roll is when I go out and I take pictures of the volunteers working. I take pictures of the destruction, whatever is a picture. A picture is worth 1,000 words.
Something that may go over the top of, you know, exactly, a dialogue or an interview, something like that.
Right.
Okay.
And you just want to make sure you have enough interesting B-roll to go over the top of what somebody's talking about, because there's a lot of ums and ands and things that you need to...
And much better than just a straight talking head, right?
Exactly. More interesting, more exciting.
So how many minutes or hours of footage might you take in a typical, let's say a Lifeline or something like that you've done?
I could take up to 2 or 3 hours.
Really? Okay.
And it's nice because of what I do. I will come back to that footage years later and I'll incorporate it into another video. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what you're going to be using it for and how long you want it to have a shelf life. Not that you have a long shelf life in video these days, but sometimes you do. And I do go back to Katrina. I revisited Katrina from 10 years ago because we were doing the anniversary. So I wanted some of that footage, and I brought it back in my video this past year.
Interesting. Well, we really appreciate both of your time and recognize that you have schedules to keep, and this was challenging enough to kind of coordinate all 4 schedules, but really appreciate you making the extra effort to do that. And you are sitting in, where are you sitting, Beth? Are you sitting in a church basement or?
Do you want to take a picture? I can kind of.
Sure. Give us the 360 view.
Yeah, we're in the church fellowship of Lord of Life down here in Texas, and we're very thankful to this congregation. They opened the parsonage, and we will have up to 10, possibly 12 people in the parsonage, and that's where we come back after a day's work and have our evening meals, and everybody cleans up and goes to bed, and it starts over the next day. Over.
Yeah. So apparently there's no damage where you were.
Yes, no, there was. There is damage, and not as bad. We're not in an area that was hit as hard, but there are people in this area. And
but not in the building you're in, I meant, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit too.
Okay.
Didn't take it out, so we're okay.
Well, we certainly appreciate your work on our behalf, and blessings on that. And Steve, you too. Important work you're doing at WLC and training the next generation of Christian videographers and storytellers.
Martin, two quick things just to mention real quick. For those congregations looking to do something in video, start collecting what Beth just talked about, that B-roll. A lot of times churches will come to us and say, we want to do a promotional video. And, boy, you know, we got such a great Christmas program and Easter program, and we got this and that that's been going on for the last 10 years. And I go, well, great. Can you share those images with us? And they go, oh, well, no, we don't really have that. Right. So start to take that B-roll. So if you do get to the point where you want to make a video, you have it. And then also, as far as asking questions, one thing, when you ask people questions, always ask them to repeat the question within the answer. If I say, Sally, what's your favorite color? and she'd go blue. That's not going to be really helpful to me when I'm putting an interview together. But if she'd say, well, Steve, my favorite color is blue, because that then that becomes a story that tells itself. And having those two elements, the B-roll and almost people who are interviewing themselves, really will help you tremendously, at least having that groundwork to get something together.
Great tips.
Great tips, yeah.
Thanks again, you two. Blessings on, we're glad we could bring you together at least for 30 minutes here.
Thank you. That's nice.
And safe travels.
You guys leave, and we'll just stay online here for a while. Okay?
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve and Beth. Glad we could bring you two together at least for 20 minutes. Good stuff, Sally. I think it's good to get the perspective of somebody who's been in the industry for a long, long time and had some great practical tips. It wasn't necessarily something that you'd have to be an expert at to implement in your ministry, but just some good practical tips.
Yeah, and they were fans of one of your favorites, Martin, Adobe Premiere. We've talked about that on the show in the past, but I guess having them validate the professionalism of the tool gives you a little more credentials to go out and give it a try. And you can certainly subscribe to that easily enough through the Adobe Creative Cloud. Pretty affordable these days that you can pay for it on a monthly basis rather than a big upfront purchase price for the standalone software.
Subscription process, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just also talked about one of my favorites, the Mevo camera from Livestream. You can find out more at getmevo.com. And I actually had a chance to look at one of these cameras in action this summer when I visited with Tom Rosenau, who's a teacher over in Bloomer, Wisconsin, I believe is the town. And he said his congregation uses a Mevo. They actually set the camera on the front pew, and they can get shots of the pastor at the altar and the pulpit, closer in and further out, all different shots. And Tom often plays organ, and he's got an iPad that he's controlling those shots with as he's up playing organ. So must be pretty reasonable to work with. He was very pleased with it.
That's kind of a neat gizmo and very useful if you don't want a real complicated setup or don't have the budget for it or the room for it. This little camera can kind of capture these individual shots, like you mentioned, at different perspectives, all from one vantage point. And from the videos that I've seen, very, very nice quality. So good product. Again, that's the Mevo that Steve mentioned, and Steve was certainly excited about it. One key tip that Steve talked about, and we've talked about on the show too, when you're considering video, is really don't start with video, start with audio. Make sure that whatever you do, whatever camera you get, supports the ability to capture good audio. And the tip he gave there was just to make sure that you could maybe plug audio right into the camera using an XLR audio cable, which is a standard hookup for good microphones and something that can work with soundboards as well. So Beth gave us some nice tips too. I think she talked a little bit about one thing that we don't have to worry too much about on our show, but I think for good production video or for interesting video, B-roll, that video that kind of rides over the top of your narrative so that it's not just a talking head, if that's kind of the approach you're taking, just to shots that make it a little bit more interesting and a little bit fuller visual of what it is you're trying to communicate.
You know, Martin, that made me think of a little bit deeper about that concept, because I hadn't really gotten real deep into video production, but there's certainly been times when I wish I would have had a little bit of filler video to go with what I was doing. And if I were going to be in that role, be the person generating videos for my congregation or school or whatever, I think it might be worth it to somehow index the videos and save them. So I'm working with, 20 minutes of video, and it's on a certain topic, it's in a certain location, it includes certain people or activities. As I store that video, maybe kind of databasing some tags and things, or our minute and second points in the video where different things are. I think that could really make work with B-roll video a lot easier, because when I work with video, it's very time consuming, and especially if you have to go find something when you know you have it, but there's 20 videos to look through to find it. So organization of these files, I think, becomes really key when you're working with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we should have probably asked Beth and Steve how they do that, because I'm sure that's a big part of what they do. They've got, I'm sure, hours and thousands of hours of mm-hmm. content that they have to be able to go back to and grab. We've talked to Steve Betcher before. I'm sure he has that same problem with trying to find just the right clip. You know, it's like a 5-second clip of, mm-hmm. you know, a crowded Hong Kong street or whatever it is, you know, and to find that in thousands of hours of video, that could be a challenge. Or maybe it's a little clip of kids playing kickball at recess, or some activity, kids singing at VBS, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you want to pull out that would run over the top of your promotional video. That's important to try and capture that.
I just feel like start now, folks. If you don't have a system in place, adopt something so that you can find that great video content when you need it.
Yeah. So once again, thanks to Steve and Beth for taking the time to share their expertise with us, and we'll have to have them on again, because I'm sure video is going to be a hot topic for a number of years to come. So, all right, let's move on to our news in tech segment. News in tech is a little piece of our show where we try and give you a little bit of a look-see into what's going on in the technology business. And we've got a number of things in the news that we wanted to share. One, I found some kind of disturbing news, and probably you've heard it as well, and that's a security flaw in a very common Wi-Fi protocol, WPA2. If you have a Wi-Fi router, you're using this WPA2 protocol. There's a security flaw that puts almost every Wi-Fi device at risk of hijack or eavesdropping, and it's because of a bug known as CRACK, K-R-A-C-K, which stands for Key Reinstallation Attack. So what happens when you connect to a Wi-Fi network is there's an exchange of keys between the device that you're using and the router so that they trust each other. So there's encrypted data that goes across the wire or the wireless wavelengths, and this key is important that it remain private, and apparently this crack or this flaw violates that. So it's a problem that is super wide stream or widely seen, and something that every manufacturer is going to have to take care of. So chances are that if you have a newer Wi-Fi router, I'd say 2, 3, 4 years old, you're probably fine. And if it's by a mainstream provider like Linksys or Netgear, something like that, you're probably okay. They will probably issue a firmware update. Firmware updates on these devices are not always the easiest, so you may want to investigate how to make sure that yours is the latest. Normally, there's some kind of web interface that you have to jump into to install these. They can be downloaded usually. You don't have to kind of hook anything up to the router, but normally you log into the administrator console, usually through an IP address like, the 192.168.1.1 or something like that. You have to know your username and password to get in, and then just make sure it gets updated. There are a couple of areas where there isn't a lot of concern. Windows devices don't have this flaw because they weren't compliant with the standard, the WPA2 standard. So that's in a certain case where that's actually a good thing. But there are many other things that are wide open, and kind of the Internet of Things is a wide open thing here too. Like your Echo or whatever, those need to be patched up too, but hopefully the vendors will take care of those as well. So any cause for concern in the Draper household?
I'm getting more nervous the longer you talk. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not that deep into it. I'll have to let my husband know.
And if you are responsible for things at your church or school, this would certainly be something you'd want to look into. So you don't want you don't want that vulnerability sitting there on you in your Wi-Fi. Another piece of news, and some of you that use Windows machines, speaking of Windows, you may have noticed this already. There's a new big update from Windows, the Fall Creators Update, they call it. We'll put a link in the show notes to this news article from the Windows Blogs site, but all kinds of mixed reality they're adding, some updates to Photos, mixed reality viewer. New kind of people-focused icon will appear in your tray that will allow you to get in touch with people depending on what kind of applications you have installed. So with one click, you can open up a new email to them. You can open up a Skype chat, those kinds of things, and all kinds of other stuff with Cortana. There's some new Microsoft Edge stuff. I will tell you, I have installed this twice on two computers. One on my own and one on the live stream computer that we're using for our Wednesday Interactive Faith Bible Study. It takes a long time. So don't think you're going to do this and 20 minutes later be ready to rock and roll. My experience has been 60 to 90 minutes, maybe even more, depending on the speed of your computer. So just be aware that it's going to take a while, but it is worth updating. There's some new ransomware protection measures they've taken and some other productivity things. So just be aware that that is coming down the pike and that you should install it. Just allow enough time to do so.
Good news in tech to keep up with.
Good news in tech. Good news, bad news in
tech. Yeah, true.
All right, let's proceed to our Wells Now segment. Sally, you want to take the lead here?
Sure. We want to remind our listeners that there's a great Interactive Faith online Bible study happening currently. It's titled Luther's Lasting Impact, and it's led by Professor Joel Otto from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and it's going to keep going for the next 3 weeks or so. There's downloadable content. You can watch it on Wednesdays at 6 or 8 p.m. Central, so gather a group or sit at your own computer and join the collective group that's watching via live stream as Professor Otto talks you through the Bible study and gives you time to discuss amongst yourself as well. Neat experience.
Neat series, yeah.
Great topic.
You get varying numbers, but the intent is that you kind of gather in a group, but if you're by yourself, then that's fine too. So,
Another collective experience that's happening now is over on the Gospel Outreach with Media site, gowm.org, where you can access the fall 2017 conference. And it's a totally online conference. Basically, a lot of interesting people wrote up a lot of different ideas about Gospel Outreach with Media. Some of them are specifically focused on the Reformation anniversary. Some of them are kind of highlighting or showcasing gospel outreach that's happening around the world. And then there's other ideas and things that people have shared, including an article titled Wells Tech's Gospel Outreach Discoveries, where yours truly, I went through all of that 32 days of history of Wells Tech and found all kinds of gems out there. Get to know your people that you're reaching out to, ideas for digital communication platforms, creating image and video content, and tracking prospects with links galore. So if you want kind of a synopsis of outreach content that we've talked about on Wells Tech over the years, you certainly can tap into that on the website. The neat thing about this online conference is that all of these articles and things that are available, they have places for people to comment. And so you can see things, you can explore things in different formats. And once you've done that, if you've looked through everything and read through the content that's there, and you get to the bottom of the article, there's interactive comment area. And the people that wrote the articles, they are there monitoring the comments and responding to you if you have questions or extensions of the discussion that's being presented there. You can do that. But that part of it, the interactivity, the commenting, is only live for 3 weeks. So it started this past Monday, and it'll go through, I think, November 13th is the end of the conference. And so do check it out, and hopefully it's going to give a boost to your outreach efforts. Definitely share it with your evangelism chairman, because there's certainly got to be some great content there that your evangelism committees and your congregation can take advantage of. So check it out.
A lot of effort. Great idea. And Tom Custer has done a nice job with that, promoting it and then facilitating it. Awesome job. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move to the segment in our show where Sally and I make a pick or a tip of the week. We've been impressed by something that's made a difference in our workflow or our ministries in some way, shape, or form. It's just something we want to share. And Sally, looks like you've got something Reformation-based once again. Good on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, kind of a broken record, but I'm excited about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I've been foreshadowing this for a while, but I'm actually making it my pick of the week. It's a book I've been reading with my husband called Luther's Protest, From 95 Theses to Reformation, written by John Brown from our own Northwestern publishing house. And I have learned so much through this historical look at obviously the spiritual setting that the Reformation occurred in, but also the political climate and social aspects of the Reformation, what made it grow and how it all came together and became the force that it was to actually reform the church. And we're just about done with the book. I recommend it to anyone, but you can tell I'm only so far in it because I have my bookmark there, which is my second pick of the week. I came across from a Facebook friend some printable bookmarks, and these were distributed by the Michigan District of the Missouri Synod. And I'm not quite sure who recommended it to me or shared it on their Facebook page, but it's just a one-page printable coloring sheet, basically, of Reformation-oriented bookmarks. So the one that I am holding says, Sola, or alone, in grace and faith in Scripture in Christ. And so Reformation 500. And then there's a second one that's a quote from Luther. It says, we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And so just really pretty coloring type bookmarks. And I had a Reformation coloring book earlier, and now we've got bookmarks. I think some of our listeners would enjoy that. And the techie tie is, I have links to both of these. They're available on the internet. And so
print your own.
There you go. They're techie in that regard.
Very nice.
So
nice. A couple picks for your buck there. Nice job. My pick is, I think I have actually talked about this way in the past. I didn't look it up. Sometimes I will, thinking, well, my memory isn't that good. Maybe I just picked this like 2 months ago, but I'm sure it was more than 2 months ago. This is a tool called Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R. I think it's called Zapier because they call them Zaps. Wouldn't be right if they said they were Zapes. But Zapier is, if you're familiar with If Then Then That, I-F-T-T-T, similar but maybe a more professional tool. Essentially, it hooks two applications or more together. You can kind of stack these up. And there is a free model that allows you to do some of these, and I use that. The reason I picked this is I'm working on our church's website, and I needed a way to get an RSS feed. Those of you that remember RSS feeds, I wanted an RSS feed of a Google Docs or a Google Drive folder. So we're putting newsletters in PDF format in a Google Drive folder, and I want them to appear in order on our website. And there isn't a real easy way to do that outside of RSS. So I thought, well, maybe Zapier has a way for me to do that. So what I can do is hook up WordPress and Google Docs and the two just, well, actually it's a third party that puts all this together. And but there's all kinds of things you can hook up together. Facebook, Gmail, Google Sheets, Trello, Slack, Twitter, Todoist, Instagram. And they give you all kinds of different, they call them zaps. I guess IFTTT would call them recipes, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they call them. So create Trello cards and Google Sheet rows from new start emails on Gmail. Send an email via Gmail for updated spreadsheets. There's just a ton of these. And they give you nice little starter examples that you can work with that'll connect any app. So if you're always tried to kind of think of a way to connect a couple apps, you thought, boy, it sure would be nice if this app would talk to that app. Zapier is one way to kind of think through the possibilities. The pricing, let me see if I can find pricing here real quick. I think there is a free plan, and here we go. So the free plan gives you 100 tasks a month. So they define a task as something that Zapier does for you. So it sees that there's a new newsletter in your Google Drive folder called newsletters, and it creates a new RSS feed or updates the RSS feed. That's one task. So you're not going to get a ton of these, but for something like my application, it works fine. We're not going to create 100 newsletters in a month. They limit you to 5 zaps. You can only have 5 running at a time. And they run at prescribed times. So they run like every 15 minutes and they check, oh, is something there or something there. If you want more than that, so if you maybe want 20 zaps or up to 1,000 tasks a month, then you're into, you know, the next, the pay for category, which is $20 a month. I don't know if they have nonprofit pricing. I didn't ask. So I've been fine with the free stuff, at least for now. And I've used this in the past, the free stuff as well. And it really does a nice job. So this would be something I would encourage you to take a look at. That's Zapier, Zapier.com, and see if this could connect a couple of your favorite apps. See if it might work for you.
Good stuff, Martin. So are you going to unveil your new church website when you have it all finished? Or are we going to get a behind-the-scenes tour
idea
of it? Or?
I'm not going to keep it under a bushel for too much longer. My goal is October, by the end of October, and we're quickly approaching the end of October. So I've been working hard every night to try and get this thing rolled out. But there's a lot of moving parts. So
yeah,
and a lot of people involved. And anybody that's worked on a website before knows that really it's not so much the technology, it's the content, and the content means the people. So you really have to kind of plan for that and account for that. And you can't account for everybody's schedule. So there's a process there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as you're going over the Zapier thing that you probably have to have some documentation too, because you might train that one key person that's involved in putting the newsletters in the Google Drive, and then the next person doesn't do it exactly the right way. Zapier's not going to pick it up. So you got to be consistent. So
ton of documentation. And I hate documentation. I don't know if that's any
secret. Tell us how you really feel.
you on the other hand, I think, you know, it's very much a sweet spot for you. But I think you do a great job with written documentation, and I just, that's the worst.
Yeah.
So when I'm going to do my documentation, it's all going to be screencasts. And if they don't like screencasts, then I don't. When I'm long gone, then that's what you're going to have. And if you want to redo it, you can redo it. But screencasts for me are just one and done. It takes me 15 minutes to show you, and you're going to have to watch the 15-minute video. But I'm a visual learner, so, and a visual teacher too.
Excellent. Well, they're blessed to have you, I'm sure. We'll look forward to a big unveiling here on Wells Tech.
All right. Yeah, don't raise the bar too high for me, please. All right. Let's move on to ministry resource, and I'm on the clock again.
Go, Martin.
My ministry resource this week is another productivity tip. I shared my favorite productivity tip 2 weeks ago, and that had to do with a waiting for list approach from getting things done, and kind of a lifesaver for me. This one I call I call it more favorite productivity tip. So there wasn't just one, there's more, but this is called cleaning up your desktop. And this kind of struck me as something worth talking about, because I've seen some really scary desktops. I don't know if I've seen your desktop in a long time, Sally, so I can't comment on yours. Mine has been actually very much under control for the last few years because of some of these tips that I've picked up over the years. And as it turns out, the desktop is not a great organizational tool. It really is kind of a dangerous place to store all your stuff because very often it's not backed up. So there's three tips involved with this productivity tips ministry resource. One, your desktop should be reserved for documents you need to have one-click access to. So this is kind of a don't clutter your mind tip. So if it's just sitting on your desktop just kind of staring at you all day long, then it can be a distraction. So you just want the stuff that you really want at your fingertip. And so that would be tip one. I talk about a few things that you can do to make that happen. Tip two, don't use your desktop for applications. One of my favorite things about Windows and Macs too is that without even taking your fingers off the keyboard, you could launch any app. So why do you need the app? And I've seen some people with apps on the desktop and in the toolbar. You don't need either one of them. Just use your keyboard. So on Windows, you hit the Windows key and then start typing the first couple letters of the app. So if you want to open up Word, you hit Windows key and W-O, there it is, you hit Enter, and it'll open right up. Chrome, same way, Windows key, or on a Mac, it's Command Space. You got to hit two keys there, but fortunately, they're right next to each other. And then you hit CH and Enter, and up it pops. So no real reason to have those links there. They're just taking up space. And tip number three, change the default location of your desktop to a cloud service. I don't think you can do this on a Mac, but you can on Windows. And I've done this so that my desktop actually just shows what I have in my OneDrive. So I really don't have the traditional desktop. I just have whatever is in my OneDrive now showing up. So I need to keep that organized. But that's typically the stuff that I need one-click access to. It's also a kind of a backup strategy where I know that if I'm putting it on my desktop, it's also going up to OneDrive in the cloud. And I get it not only backed up, but I get it synced to whatever other device I'm using, whether it's a phone or tablet or another computer. Real lifesaver if I'm just throwing stuff on the desktop and I need access to it. That's a great way to always have access to it. I point to a couple different articles in the blog post here, how to clean up your Windows desktop once and for all, and changing location of Windows desktop. It's not a difficult or dangerous process. It's just just makes a lot of sense to me. Sally, how's your desktop doing?
Well, I'm looking at it, Martin, and I do have a few icons. I would say there's probably about eight. So my policy is I have the recycle bin. I have a folder I call apps, because oftentimes apps do by default put a shortcut on the desktop.
Yeah,
and I just drag them and drop them in there, because there are some apps I just don't use that often. I'm not a keyboard person like you. That's great. If I could get in that habit, I think that would be a much better way to do it. But it's nice to be able to open that folder and find an app if I'm looking for it. So I have one that I call apps, and then I have one I call temp. And there are just some things, oftentimes video projects go in there because I don't want to do them in the cloud. I want to have that locally, work with it locally. And when I'm done, then I'll file it away wherever it belongs. But I want to have those files on my local computer. Beyond that, I just kind of cycle through links as I need to have easy access to them, or I'm going from one system to another and I need to just save it somewhere quick, I'll do that. And then I clear those up very regularly. So one of my motivations, more than just organization, is that I don't like showing my screen in presentation mode covered with a bunch of junk. I like to clean up my desktop for presentations. And so it just became a habit of mine. I love the minimalist approach to the desktop. I can't imagine it looking like the picture that's in your blog post. That would drive me insane. So icons are everywhere.
You've seen that, right?
It happens. Sure. So, we have users at the CMM that do that. So exactly. Truth be told.
Yep. So we're not judging. We're just saying there are some productivity gains that could be had.
There you go.
All right. It's time now for community feedback. And hallelujah, we have a voicemail. We asked for one last week, and we got one. Philip Wells, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's play his voicemail.
Sally and Martin, hi, it's Philip Wells here. I noticed you were focusing on video tech for the month of October, and I think this is awesome. So much content being posted online these days is political and negative and discouraging, and even the content that is meant to be entertaining or bright tends to be crass in nature. I think this is an awesome opportunity for us to be posting uplifting, life-changing, soul-refreshing content, and you might even argue we have an obligation to be spreading this good news. And what's the other word for good news? Oh, that's right, the gospel. So the more we can be doing as congregations to be pushing out nice, uplifting content to our members, and especially in video, I think the more we do that, the better. If I had to go back in time, I don't know. I don't think I would go back very far. There's a lot of stuff to look forward to with the new tech on the horizon, and that's kind of my game. Keep up the great show. Bye.
Thank you, Philip, for the kind words. First of all, I was really impressed with the audio quality of that voicemail. I don't know that it has anything to do with how we captured it, but I think probably on the presentation end or what kind of microphone he was using or whatever. But the way you leave a voicemail, by the way, is just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. It's a little blue bar that sits on the right side of the screen that you can click on to leave a voicemail. And really appreciate the encouragement, Philip. We're totally in agreement. That's why we dedicated a month to video. And I think there's a long way to go, I think, in a lot, in all of our ministries to make better use of video and to produce some good quality stuff. And I think it's great that you're living in the moment, too, that you would not want to live in any other time but now, because that's the time God has given us. That's his time of grace for us. So nice response. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. We do appreciate that. Martin, you had some feedback of your own. Were you tweeting or what?
Yeah, these mixture of different things. One is from our good friends at Camtasia. Oh. And let me see if I can find the right article here. Here it is. The this one entitled, actually, Good Friends at TechSmith. Camtasia is a product, but they're talking about how to record Skype and Google Hangout video calls. And we do this through this show, through Google Hangouts, and we let Google take care of this. But there are other ways to do that and other maybe good reasons to do that. And to be able to use something like a screen capture tool like Camtasia, they talk you through or walk you through the different ways of capturing Skype or Google Hangout calls. And there's probably some good ministry applications for this, especially if you're doing distance learning or distance education, catechism class or something that you want to record. So if you've got these tools already, you might as well take advantage of them. So I just wanted to pass that article along. And some sad, but we're moving on news. Microsoft is retiring Office Mix in 2018. Now, you might remember that was one of my picks 3 years ago, maybe, when it was in beta. They are baking in some of the Office Mix features into PowerPoint. Office Mix added some ways to add interactive surveys and quizzes. It allowed you to capture and post right away your presentation. So it offered a mix of different add-ons that you could use to PowerPoint that actually made it kind of a nice tool to get stuff into the hands of students and make it a little bit more interactive. There was a whole bunch of plugins, but it's good to know that now they're baking a lot of that into PowerPoint, the ability to record things, et cetera, et cetera. So watch for that coming to a PowerPoint near you if that is your presentation tool of choice.
Excellent. I've got a bit of community feedback of my own to share. Basically, I picked up on this from the Wells Google Schools group, where Professor James Karlofsky shared that there's a new Google Calendar available, or some updates to Google Calendar, giving it a new interface. So that news was on the Google blog last week, and they already have some help resources out there, which we'll link to. I had our Google Calendar for Wells Tech up, and I thought I'd just do kind of a virtual unboxing and click the Use New Calendar link, which is found in the upper right area. So when you click that, it prompts you. Our updated design makes it even easier for you to manage your time, and then you have to kind of confirm. There's an Upgrade Now button, and then your calendar is magically transformed. It's got a fresh new look. It looks like you can customize things with density and color. The pages are just, the numbering, the titles and numbering of the dates has a different font and look to it, so the layout's a little bit different. There's a modern color set and a classic color set that you can toggle between. And when you're done with customizations, working on calendar events has a little bit more detail to it. So you can find out who's attending things, and if you've sent it as a meeting invite or whatever, you can see who's accepted or not yet. Lots of other things right here on the first layer of the calendar.
Go to the month view there, Sally. Let me see what
Let's toggle there. Month view looks
cleaner. Yep.
A little bit cleaner. I think that if you have it in day view, I want to say, and you open a second calendar, I don't know if I have anything exciting on any of these others. I think there's a way to open a calendar side by side.
Yeah.
That was something I read about. But I'll have to practice up and maybe demonstrate some more of the functionality. But at least we know that it looks a little more modern, and fonts and layout is a little bit cleaner and more minimalist looking with that update to Google Calendar. So thanks for being part of the virtual unboxing. Very exciting stuff right here on Wells Tech.
It had been quite a while, I think, since Google had done anything of interest with the design, certainly of the calendar. We sing its praises quite often, and mm-hmm. I think, there certainly seem to be a lot of churches and schools using it, and it's a great tool, and there's a lot of reasons why. So hopefully Kevin's calendar, what's it called?
Print My Cal
still works with that.
Yep, I think it'll sail right through, no problem.
All right, very good. Sally, do we have a video of the week?
Nope. No video. We have two videos of the week. Not just one, but two. And they're Reformation focused, believe it or not. This is the story of Martin Luther Playmobil animation, and I think that you'll enjoy it. It's very well done, and there's a lot of gospel that is built right into it, I think. Quite excellent presentation. And it's about 4 minutes long, so you could include it with a school classroom or Bible class study, or embed it on your website, or share it on Facebook, whatever your desire. And when you're done, there's a bonus video behind the scenes where they show how they built the whole set of the Playmobil video and set it all up and did the filming and things. So if you're looking for some video production and ideas and tips and things, maybe you'll find it there in the behind the scenes of Martin Luther. So fun stuff. Oh, looks like Luther's visiting you in your office there, Martin. How special is that?
There he is. Yep. That's
he's getting excited.
That's right.
500's just he around the corner.
Right on my shelf. Now's his time.
Yep. So good stuff.
Good.
My son was excited. He's going to read some Bible passages in German at the MLC Reformation service. So can't get more exciting than getting to use his German. So,
speaking of that, we probably should put a plug in for that. When is that?
Yeah, they're having a full day of celebrations for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I believe it's next Wednesday, November 1st, and I'm sure they'll be live streaming that special service. So we will definitely link to that in the show notes. Good point.
Very good. We'll spend a little bit more time on Reformation 500 next week, but we're also excited to have Jason Schmidt. joining us, our one of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents from Omaha, Nebraska. And we're going to talk a little bit about school video production, kind of a different animal. And video is big in schools, has been for a long time. And Jason's going to come in and talk to us about that and bring his bit of sunshine to our little show for episode 521.
We need the sunshine. Noam's actually expecting snow this week, so I'll take sunshine in the Jason Schmidt format. That's fine.
All right. Bring it on, Jason. So tune in next week for that. If you'd like to contribute to the show, as Philip did and others, you can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a note on one of our shows there, a comment. You can email us, wellstech@wells.net. And any of the social networks, we are there as well. Just kind of figure out where Wells Tech is, hashtag Wells Tech on Twitter, etc. And we'd be happy to receive your comment and share it with the class. Sally, thank you. Have a great week. And we will return and do this all over again next week on 521. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.